Okay, well, I see where you're going, but I was saying that there's different forms. You know, there's elite, you know, dominating groups that do have that dynamic, secret societies, skull and bones.
I wasn't necessarily relating to your this is more of a general thing you can apply as an overlay and look at a group and say, are they acting as though they were pirates and they're loyal to themselves and dedicated and hardworking, but it's to the goal of, you know, the ruination of somebody else?
No, I totally agree with. I see what you're saying now. I'm making a counterpoint there, and that, in fact, that's the nature.
Yeah, we need to be a group that isn't.
Well, okay. Well, that's a long discussion, and we are flush out of time. But thank you so much, John, and thank you, Kelly, Harvey, other John, Steve, and the others. And this is Paul Rowland with Wednesday Talk Radio. Thank you to Sonia for operating the board. And keep listening to your community radio station and support us at KBO.FM. Thank you so much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Today, our show was taped during the volatile COVID-19 pandemic. With our studio unavailable to us and our commitment to social distancing, we are using the Zoom platform to record today's show. Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Vision Action Network may be the best-kept secret in Washington County, though it started years ago, almost 20 years ago now. Few folks I talk to know anything about it. Today, secrets will be revealed. Our guest today is Vision Action Network Executive Director Glenn Montgomery. Glenn joined VAN, Vision Action Network, as executive director in March 2015 after a 30 or more year career that spans the business, nonprofit, government, and faith-based sectors, from software development to sustainability to lay ministry to nonprofit management. He has curated a unique set of skills and experience that serve him well in his role as convener and facilitator of cross-sector collaboration in our county. Welcome, Glenn.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
Very much our pleasure. Glenn, Vision Action Network, or VAN, was started by, I think, a former chief executive officer of Washington County government some 20 years ago. What was the purpose at that time for developing the organization?
It's a good question. And, you know, you mentioned in the introduction that VAN is the best kept secret of Washington County. I've been trying real hard to change that brand, but man, I can't shake it. I do appreciate the fact that you've got me on this program, because a lot of people don't know about VAN, even though back in the day, around 2000, the county administrator at the time, Charlie Cameron, was engaging the community in a massive effort called Vision West. And that involved 1,500 to 2,000 people, 200 focus groups. They spent the better part of a year trying to come to grips with the issues around human services in Washington County, in large part because the county was receiving some criticism from the community that they weren't investing enough in that area. And Charlie at the time said, it's not that we don't want to prioritize this. It's that we can't do it alone. And so after that almost year-long process with so many people involved in the community, one of the ideas that came out of that was that they wanted an organization that had no other mission than to bring all sectors together around the table to address critical issues in Washington County. So that was the birthplace. You know, Vision West ended up being birthing VAN in that regard. I don't think that's where they originally thought it was going to go. It just so happened that over the course of time, that idea bubbled to the surface. And the county thought it was a great idea because it would take the onus off of them in that convening role. And others in the community felt like it was a great idea because there wouldn't necessarily be an entity like the county that might have its own motives, might have its own agenda, might want to control the process. And so having an independent convener made it great for all of the folks involved. And so Van has evolved in that role as convener and facilitator in Washington County.
Now that was the original goal. And of course, Van has been around and doing its job even before you joined them, been doing it for 20 years. Has the purpose of Van changed?
I would say that the identity of Van has not changed. We've clearly gone through a number of iterations of asking that question. When I came on board in 2015, the board itself, in conversation with me, was trying to figure out, you know, what does Van want to be when it grows up? You know, we were kind of in the adolescent phase and looking at maturation, but we came back to the original identity of Van, and we confirmed this a few years ago. We said Van is first and foremost a convener, and we facilitate dialogue that we hope moves to action in Washington County. So that really hasn't changed. Now, how we've engaged the community, I think, has changed over time. In the earlier years, for example, before my time, there were a lot more community engagement activities, a lot more of what I might describe as, you know, involving the residents of Washington County. There was the Walk for Unity and the Mayor's Breakfast, where people were coming together and residents were gathering. And so Van was an organizer in that regard. I think Van has evolved, at least when I came on board, Van was involved more with what I call the infrastructure of Washington County. So our primary stakeholders are the organizations, both public sector, nonprofit sector. Those tend to be our primary stakeholders because they, as you I'm sure are well aware, are most integrally involved in human services issues. And then we've got the faith-based sector, and we've got education and healthcare. So there are a variety of other sectors that are involved, but we tend to work more with the infrastructure and the organizations that are serving the community, as opposed to a nonprofit that might be working directly with residents. We certainly don't provide direct services to residents. And it's only been recently that we've started holding events where I'm seeing residents coming, well, virtually now, but in the day when we were still holding meetings right. In person, we were getting more residents. But that was based on the fact that we were focusing on different types of issues, racial equity being one of those.
Which we'll get to in just a little bit. As an organization, and I appreciate the evolution you just explained, by the way, that's a good summary of a 20-year evolution of an organization. As an organization that strives as a catalyst, to be a catalyst, to move others to action, listening to how you've evolved, Glenn, how do you go about that? If you have opposing forces competing for, not necessarily warring with each other, but competing for a finite amount of resources, how do you help?
I ask myself that question every day, Rob. I think we get better and better at it. You know, we learn. We're an adaptive organization, and that's what we have to do. And our work is never done. I don't think we will ever work ourselves out of a job the way some who might be focused on a specific issue often say, boy, we wish we could work ourselves out of this mission.
Is that because conflict never ends?
Well, it's because we always have challenges. You know, there will always be issues we're trying to address. And the things that Van works on are some of the most intractable issues. And I don't want to say that poverty, for example, is going to be with us forever, but we haven't seen a significant change over time. We still see a tremendous amount of poverty. 10% of people in Washington County living under the federal poverty level, which everyone agrees is an artificial level at that. But the fact that we have these seemingly intractable issues means that we have to figure out better ways to address them. We may always be living with these issues in some way, shape, or form. If we continue to operate under the systems we have today, we will guarantee live with these systems or live with these issues. So Van tries to figure out how to bring people together collaboratively. You meant having these opposing forces. There's no doubt people have different ideas about how they want to address issues. Van tries to bring people together in a collaborative spirit. It's one of the things that I appreciate about Washington County. We do have folks that are willing to get around the table, talk about issues. They may be in disagreement, but there's not a lot of jockeying for position. There aren't a lot of sharp elbows. It really is a collaborative spirit. And Van's role is just to try to be connective tissue. You mentioned the word catalyst. I love that word. I do believe that we try to accelerate the process of change. Absent Van, I think we would maybe be addressing these issues perhaps more slowly, perhaps less effectively. So what Van tries to do is connect the dots in Washington County, make sure the right people are at the table. So being as inclusive as we can, making sure we've got diverse opinions, creating a big tent and a space where people can be courageous and put some bold ideas out and hopefully move the needle in the right direction.
Big challenges for an organization that seems rather small. I believe there's yourself and either one or two other employees. How large is your budget and how are you funded?
It's true, we only have a couple of employees. There was a time, I think, when Van had four or five, maybe even six, but that was when they were incubating an initiative that ultimately the county subsumed, and that was around sustainability. But for the most part, the general operations staff of Van, it's been a two-person organization, sometimes two and a half or three. And as far as our budget, in terms of cash budget, we are under $250,000 a year. So we're a very lean organization in terms of what we can bring to the table programmatically. We rely on our benefactors, and by and large, the benefactors that Van has over the course of its 20-year history, it's primarily the public sector. Roughly 80% of our funding comes from the public sector. So think the county, the cities, special districts. Those are the organizations that see the value in our convening role. And they have anteed up, thankfully, year after year since Van's inception. Now, the other 20% ends up coming with what grants we might write, which we are not, as you know, we're a two-person organization. We're not a grant-writing machine. We never have been. That has not been a focus of ours. But I think that's changing. Event fees, when we do hold events, we get sponsorships and fees, and then we have some other minor donations that come in that make up that 100%. But by and large, we're a publicly funded operation.
Can you outline some of Van's, not current, we'll get there, but past accomplishments since it began its work? For one example, the organization helped launch or was a catalyst for the Washington County Human Rights Council, which I've had some involvement with in the past. What other kinds of things has Van done?
Pretty early on in Van's incorporation, there were a couple of other organizations that came out of that Van helped bring to bear. One of those was Interreligious Action Network, they called themselves, IAN. And that group was catalyzed by Vision West. They didn't necessarily have a cohesive organizational structure. So Van became IAN's fiscal sponsor and was its fiscal sponsor up until 2015, 2016. So for many years, Van was the fiscal sponsor for the Interreligious Action Network. That organization or that organized body has since disbanded as of a few years ago. But that was one of the organizations that was doing the mayor's breakfast and the MLK lunch. There were a number of events that they would hold each year. Another organization that came out of the process and that Van helped give birth to was the Community Housing Fund. Coincidentally, Community Housing Fund is co-located with Van. So we are, when we are in the office, which isn't very often these days, we are neighbors. So the Community Housing Fund is a nonprofit that provides that early pre-development funding that is often very hard to get for developers who are doing affordable housing. Mm-hmm. So CHF is another kind of feather in the cap that Van helped catalyze. And then beyond that, one of the initiatives that happened around 2014, 2015 was the Mental Health Response Team. This is now it was a huge shift in culture for both the sheriff's office and for mental health professionals. It was the combining of a mental health counselor in the car with a deputy, a patrol deputy, and working to de-escalate situations that are largely mental health related, rather than allowing a situation to escalate to a point where someone who's in a mental health crisis commits a crime or creates a disturbance where they ultimately get arrested. So Van's proud of having been in the early conversations of that and trying to help keep those conversations moving forward and ultimately leading to the mental health response team. So those are a few examples of some things that Van did. I mentioned the sustainability work. Van was the impetus behind the Pacific Northwest Yes. Sustainability Coalition that ultimately became something housed in the county and now is staffed by the county.
What current projects is Van involved in, Glenn?
We've got a couple of major initiatives. One of them is a longstanding initiative. I mentioned to you, some of these problems, they don't go away. So we have continued our Washington County Thrives initiative, which was one that began in the recession of 2008. So back when the economy tanked, when everyone was in crisis, Community Action, which is one of our largest nonprofits in the county, that's, you know, their focus is poverty reduction. Their network across the state got together and they were trying to figure out how do we address this crisis. So they created an Oregon Thrives campaign. And ultimately, Community Action in Washington County approached Van and said, hey, we're the poverty reduction experts here. You're the convener in Washington County. Could we partner on something where we're doing this locally as opposed to part of the statewide effort? And so Van said yes. And that began a series of conversations that ultimately morphed into Washington County Thrives. That name wasn't created until probably 2012, after we were well into recovery. But it was a coalition of organizations, again, primarily public and nonprofit sector, who were intent on coordinating their efforts to deal with the crisis and the recession. But after the recession was over, they saw enough value in being together. They said, hey, let's be more strategic about what we're doing. And when I came on board in 2015, they'd honed their message and their strategy into three areas. And those three areas are still our focus: access to affordable housing, early learning, and workforce training. So kind of a comprehensive approach to dealing with poverty.
I'd mentioned your work in racial equity, and I'd appreciate it if you could give us an update on what's happening there.
That is our second initiative. So in 2017, Van was awarded a two-year Meyer Memorial Trust grant that was around advancing equity in Washington County. And through that grant, Van really began to focus its efforts on racial equity. And we held a couple of events that were widely attended. We had over a couple hundred people at the first event and about the same number at the second, 40% of whom identified as people of color, which for those who were in attendance, when we did recaps at the end of those events, people stood up. The first event I recall distinctly, people standing up and saying, I have never attended an event like this in Washington County. I am so excited to be a part of this. I want to come back the next time if you do something like this again. So it was hugely popular. And we did that in cooperation with the Coalition of Communities of Color, with Adelante Mujeres in West Washington County, with Bienestar in Washington County, and with APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. Ultimately, those four culturally specific organizations and Van formed what is now called the Washington County Racial Equity Collaborative. So much has evolved from 2017, when we began really focusing and explicitly calling out equity Even though Van's work is always implicitly involved equity, we began to call it out explicitly. And then racial equity became a big focus. And what we've seen now, of course, in most recent times, it is more timely and more relevant than we ever would have imagined. But I'm thankful that we have this coalition. I'm thankful that we have a county administration that is taking it seriously. They've, you know, recently adopted their resolution. They've got the their Office of Equity and Inclusion. They just hired their chief executive for the Office of Equity and Inclusion. So there's a lot of momentum there. The REC, the Racial Equity Collaborative, just held 6 listening sessions for the county around body-worn cameras because there was some controversy about whether or not to fully fund and equip all patrol deputies with that. We're going to be doing another series of listening sessions and conversations around the county's budget in October. So the REC has kind of been instrumental in bringing our communities of color together with our public sector and having these conversations and trying to move forward.
I just had a strange thought. I mean, what you just ran through about collaboration and actually starting before George Floyd's death ratcheted things up, et cetera. So many of the problems that Van tackles are ongoing problems, and racial equity is nothing if it isn't an ongoing problem with a history that we all know about. Glenn, what is the REC really trying to accomplish, and can it?
We are in the process of developing a 3-year plan. And our hope, if we can pull this off, we will have an event in November to unveil that plan. And the REC was formed to help build capacity for communities of color in Washington County. Now that can take on a variety of flavors. Yes, people ask, well, what do you mean by building capacity? Some people would call it building power, creating representation where people do not feel like they have been adequately represented. So creating a pipeline of leaders of color who are engaged in nonprofits, engaged as community leaders, engaged in public sector roles. So that's one example of capacity building. As the REC has been moving forward, it has been bringing other organizations in. We are inviting others to be part of that conversation because we don't want to create this plan in a vacuum. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is create an infrastructure where people of color feel like they can tap into and be supported. That has been lacking in Washington County. We don't have it. Even though people of color have lived in Washington County for decades, they have never really quite felt a part of the Washington County community, you know, in the center stage, if you will. That's first and foremost what the REC is trying to do, is help create an infrastructure of support for people of color in Washington County.
Thank you. Out of RECs can come wonderful things, and let's hope that there is movement towards that unity. You, along with partners, have made considerable efforts to work on racial and ethnic issues in our county. How are we doing at keeping things calm and yet at the same time advocating for positive change?
I think that's been a real challenge. I think we are seeing a heightened level of conflict. We are seeing increased frustration and an unwillingness on the part of many to wait any longer. And that is creating real challenges for us. I will use the community conversations that we recently facilitated as an example. There were many who were very, very upset with the county leadership. And this will come out in a summary report that will be public, so I'm not airing anything that's a secret. These were publicly held meetings. But there were people who are irked. They do not feel their voices have been heard. They were upset that there were even being listening sessions. They said, how many listening sessions do you need to hold? So there are people who are much further along in this conversation saying we should be acting, and we should have been acting years ago before George Floyd. So you have that. You also have people on the spectrum who are frightened by what's going on right now, who are uncomfortable with the conversations that are taking place, because racism is an uncomfortable topic. And anyone who feels like they're on the receiving end of being either called racist or being told they clearly have blind spots, don't understand, are not aligning themselves and supporting people of color, those folks are uncomfortable, and some of them are frightened, and some of them are angry, and we're seeing the backlash as a result. You know, we're seeing the conflict play out every day, every evening in Portland. So, you know, we're trying to be more proactive in Washington County so that we don't see that kind of eruption of violence. And again, Van's role, even though I don't consider us a mediator, sometimes the work that we do in connecting the dots can play a mediating role. You know, what we try to do is build bridges. So we really are, I think that's where we got in the middle of this work on racial equity, because we had been cultivating these relationships with communities of color, with the organizations that serve people of color. And we had the longstanding relationship with our benefactors, who are our jurisdictions, you know, the political infrastructure. So we were able to act as a go-between and a bridge builder. And that's what Van's been trying to do. We don't consider ourselves experts on racial equity or on equity, diversity, and inclusion, but we certainly consider ourselves experts at convening and facilitating. And so we try to bring the right people to the table to have those conversations and to see if we can do some things and be better together.
Understood. Thank you. Glenn, one of the things that some of our listeners might be wondering about is, do you seek out situations to try and help, or do organizations come to you and say, hey, can you help us out?
That's an excellent question. And it is a combination of both. I try to have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in Washington County. So in part, I'm looking at what's happening. I'm reading the tea leaves. I'm trying to anticipate where there might be a gap. I'm looking at problems that we have and determining, is there a champion out there that's working on this? If there is, I can step back. If we see a gap, we look to fill it if we've got the capacity to do that. And that's where I begin to have a conversation with my board, and my board represents different aspects of our county. So I've got a very diverse board, and they act as advisors in that role. And we kind of come up with a plan of where we think we need to be pouring our energy. Equity, diversity, and inclusion became a formal initiative of VAN a year ago September, even though we've been working on it for several years. But the board adopted it as a formal initiative, which meant I could pour resources into it. My board would be getting involved. Internally, we're looking at EDI in our own journey. So there's a lot of work that's going on as a result of that. But then, as I mentioned to you with Washington County Thrives, we might have an organization like Community Action, or I might have Washington County, which the administration has approached me on occasion and said, we've got this issue. We're wondering if VAN has some capacity to put its weight behind it. So it happens either way. And I think that's a good way of operating. And now Washington County Thrives is back in the game. We'll be having monthly gatherings with that group. But my meetings are via Zoom, you know, and I'm communicating with folks. And thankfully, all my work can be done online, and I can do this from home, albeit I miss having that face-to-face in-person time.
When we were talking a little bit ago about the few staff that VAN operates with, do you use volunteers?
We use volunteers very sparingly. It's typically at an event where we might need four or five people to just kind of help run interference. But the nature of VAN's work, I haven't found it easy enough to farm out to a volunteer the roles that we have. I've thought about it. I mean, I really have, Rob. This is where you mentioned two people. We can only be in one place at any given time. So how many convening events can we host? How many facilitations can we do? Can I train volunteers to do that work? I could. Would that result in the same kind of quality of the work? Would it be quantity over quality? Those are the kinds of issues that I wrestle with. So I have not engaged volunteers in large part because of the expertise that's required of people who are in that role of convener and facilitator.
I think it's a good way to be serving the community and to be in a position to serve the community, having them come to you and also recognizing you when you knock on their door. I think it's excellent. Glenn, thank you very much for joining us today and helping to reveal one of the best kept secrets in Washington County. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Today on Wings, a champion helping street children and at-risk girls in the slums of Kenya.
It's not easy for these interviews to come on air. I mean, about the street children, because it's not a concern for many people.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. UNICEF estimates that there are about 30 million street children in Africa. In Kenya, most can be found in large urban slums, where landless people gather in the major cities. A slum survey in the capital city, Nairobi, concluded that there are approximately 2.5 million slum dwellers in about 200 settlements in that city alone, that they represent 60% of the Nairobi population, but occupy just 6% of the land. In the coastal county of Mombasa, some 40% of the population live in such informal settlements. Various projects by governments, charities, religious groups, and individuals aim to help relieve particular slum problems. The need for clean water, for instance, improve